Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Today is the 12th Sunday after the Pentecost, and today we get to celebrate how our God and his power overtakes our doubts and our fears. So you'll see that in the hymns and the readings and in the sermon, all of everything, all the prayers too, about how our God's power overcomes our doubts. If you are a visitor here with us this morning, welcome. And if you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask anybody around you, especially the guys, the ushers there with the little green flaps in their pockets. They can help direct you where to go and help you out. Today we will also be installing our Sunday school teachers for the coming year. So if you are a Sunday school teacher, I ask that you come forward when I call you and just kind of line up here. That's later on in the service. This morning we begin our worship with hymn 415, Be Still My Soul. May God bless your worship this morning. please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either deserve or desire. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and meditation of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. In the first lesson this morning from Exodus chapter 14, we see doubt arise in the Israelite people, and yet we also see God and His promise and preservation of His power and of His might for all people to see. From Exodus chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long.
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry ground. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off, so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. The word of the Lord. We join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 73. The second lesson this morning comes from James chapter 1, where James encourages us to persevere in the times of doubt and difficulty in light of what we will receive someday. From James chapter 1, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects that trial-tested faith as well. Alleluia. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words and works of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 14, which will serve as the sermon text for today. From Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward and meet me up at the front step right up here. Come on up, Colvin, Eden. You guys can sit down right there. All right, there we go. Now we got some more. Talking about fears and doubts, huh? Come on up, guys. You can go ahead and take a seat all over here. Hi. All right, good courage there. Well done. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Let me ask you guys something. Can any of you guys swim?
I can.
Yeah? You guys feel pretty confident in your swimming?
Not really.
Not really? Yeah. What about you? Feel pretty confident? Yeah, pretty confident. Jared? Yeah. What about the rest of you? Can you guys swim? You guys like going out in the water? Yeah? Yeah, everybody likes going out in the water. Well, a lot of us do. I like going out in the water, but I'm not a very good swimmer. I'm pretty bad. In fact, back in the day when I was really young, I almost drowned. It was a really, really scary moment. Let me ask you, if you guys ever see somebody drowning, what would you do? Yeah.
Probably get a lifeguard.
Get a lifeguard? Okay, that would be a good thing. What else? What else might you do? Bye, Tatum. Give him a floaty if you could. Yeah, good. Anything else? What else would you do? You don't really know. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Would you go walking out on the water?
I would try.
You would try, yeah, and how would it go?
Horribly.
Yeah, it would not go very well, right? We can't walk on the water because the water is something that, you know, it's liquid. Moves around. We can't stand on it like it's dry ground. But you know who did?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus did. Peter was out there. He was sinking, and he came out, and he saved him. And that reminds us of how Jesus does the same for you and me. In this life, when we have doubts and fears, he comes and saves us. And we know that the same love that he gave Peter, he gives to you and me. Because he saved us from the thing that we were drowning from the most, our sins. He came out and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And he died for our sins. Let us pray and thank Jesus for this. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to our rescue. Thank you for not just throwing out a life vest, but for giving us your grace, for coming out here yourself and walking on the things that trouble us. Lord, please give us a heavy dose of your grace so that we can face all of the doubts and fears that we have in our lives. We ask this in your gracious name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, you guys, and thanks for coming up a little bit, Tatum. God bless you guys. You go ahead and back to your seats, and we'll continue with the hymn of the day. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Matthew chapter 14, the gospel lesson that you just heard read, so I won't reread it at this time. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your power. Amen. Have you ever had a really big day? Like a day when you, at the end of it, just kind of look back and go, oh, that was a big day. That was a blessed, big, beautiful day. Have you ever had a really big day? One of those days when you're at the end of it, you just feel exhausted because of all the struggles and frustrations that you went through. And you just felt exhausted mentally, physically, maybe even spiritually. Ugh, that was a big day. Have you ever had those things coincide? I hope so, because that's the whole point of those second types of days. See, those days can coincide. You and I can go through struggles and frustrations in a certain day, and then all of a sudden look back at the end of the day and just go, Lord, that was a good day. Thank you for that day. Here in Matthew 14, the disciples are in the middle of a big day. There was good and there was bad. There was display of Jesus' power left and right, and then there was doubts and fears and frustrations and struggles they had to face. But at the end of it, there would be no denying it. It would be a very big day, a day that they could praise God for, and so could we. When we last left the disciples last week in our sermon text, they were each holding a basket full of leftovers from the feeding of the 5,000. And that earlier in the day, they had the frustration of not getting the rest and relaxation they thought they were going to get. Then they had the doubts and the fears of how are we going to provide food for all of these people. The Gospel of John tells us that after Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000, the disciples' day was going to get a little more interesting too, because the people had it in their minds to make Jesus king by force. A king who could provide for them when they get hungry and to heal them when they get sick? Why not? They didn't understand Jesus' true purpose. Jesus' true purpose was focused not on being an earthly king, but on the cross that he was about to die on in a year. And so Jesus, to help save his disciples from the intentions of the people, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. He wanted to get his disciples out of there before the people could do anything. So he saved them from that and gets them out on the lake, out on the Sea of Galilee, and he said he'll meet up with them in a different town. And then after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. See, Jesus had a lot of blessings and concerns to pray about too. And boy, did he love to get that time to himself where he can just talk to his Heavenly Father. I think we fail to see sometimes how good of a prayer life Jesus had. And especially here, you can think about the blessings and concerns that he had to pray about. At least one blessing we know Jesus probably thanked God for was the miracle that he just performed to feed for the people. How it provided for the people. How it showed them God's love, how it taught the disciples a lesson. Lots of blessings Jesus could have prayed for. Lots of concerns Jesus could have prayed for as well. There were, like we talked about last week, we had King Herod and the Pharisees. You had the people who obviously didn't understand why Jesus was there, so he had them to pray for. He had a big year coming up where at the end of it, the sins of the whole world, of all time, would be laid upon him. And he also had something brewing on the lake as he was praying for hours. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. The disciples were struggling on that lake. We find out that later on that it is a struggle that goes on until the fourth watch of the night. In the Roman system, there were four watches of the night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., those 12 hours. Each watch was 3 hours long. That means the fourth and the final watch of the night was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So depending on when and how long the feeding of the 5,000 took, when evening came, it said, the disciples, when they were dismissed and out on the lake, they could have been out there fighting these things for maybe 6 hours, maybe even up to 10 hours. They were fighting these wind and waves. These were experienced fishermen, some of them. Some of them had been on this lake every single day. You could understand how exhausted they had to be. So you can imagine what's going through their minds then when they all of a sudden see this figure coming toward them on the lake. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. What else could it have been? It couldn't have been a person. People don't walk on water. So their minds only give them the only explanation that they could possibly come up with. It had to be a ghost. Oh, boy. Fighting these wind and these waves for hours, and now this ghost? They had to be terrified. But then Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus gives them comfort. It was him. He was there. The disciples had been struggling and being frustrated against that water, that restless water, for hours. And yet there was Jesus, walking on it like it was dry ground. He could have gone and flown to them right into the boat. He could have suddenly appeared to them in the boat. But no, he decided to walk on the very thing they had been struggling against, to show his power over it. See, God loves to do that. God loves to show us his power over those things that can create doubt and fear in our minds, those frustrations and those struggles. That's why he sends those struggles and those frustrations into your day-to-day lives, so that he can show his power over them. So you and I know frustrations and struggles. What was it for you? Was it the frustration and the struggle over money or the needs that you and your family have, like we talked about last week? Was it a hurting family? Was it a difficult time in a relationship with a friend? Was it a tough time at work and the frustrations that can come from your job or needing a job? Was it somebody else's sin as they sinned against you? Was it struggles against your own sin as your own heart betrayed you again? Was it your frustration and struggle over health challenges, constant it seems? Was it struggles over the pain and sorrow of death? Some of these things, all of these things. See, you and I know frustrations and struggles quite well too. And that's when Jesus comes with his word and we hear that voice of, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." When we heard that, we were strengthened yet again in our minds, in our bodies, in our wills. The joy of hearing his word returned to our hearts. The comfort of his love, his presence, his forgiveness was there again, and our confidence was back. Our faith was strengthened yet again. There he was, our Lord. "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." You know the disciples had their courage strengthened when they heard those words. And you know Peter's faith was strengthened when he heard those words because of what happened next. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." What? Have you ever thought about how crazy that request is? You know, I feel like I've had some strong moments of faith in my life, but like this? What about you? Walking on water? And yet there was Peter, confident, seeing even though the waves were still restless and the wind was still there, he looks at his Lord and he says, "What Jesus is doing, he can make me do too. I can walk on water." And Jesus, seeing that confident faith in Peter, says, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. And he must have been doing pretty well because he got pretty close to Jesus. He was doing it. He was walking on water. And Jesus takes that opportunity to show, not just you and me, but the disciples who were there, his power over the wind and the waves in our lives. But then Peter starts to focus on other things. things. He starts to slip, takes his eyes off of Christ, and puts it on the wind that was threatening him. Takes his eyes off of Christ, puts it on the waves that were there. And he starts thinking, what am I doing? I'm walking on the water? What was I thinking? This is too much. I can't do this. And he starts sinking down and down, and that experienced fisherman and probably experienced swimmer starts sinking further and further down, and as whatever he can do, whatever he can muster, this three-word prayer, he calls out to Jesus. He says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? You and I have moments when we have pretty strong faith. When Jesus restores us to what we had before, maybe. And he brings us that joy, that comfort, that strength we talked about earlier. But then we also have those moments when we take our eyes off of Christ and put them back on those struggles and frustrations. And we take them and look at all of those doubts and fears that come into our lives. Our eyes go off of Christ, and they go back to those worries we have about our earthly needs. Our eyes go off of Christ, and they go back to our frustrations at our jobs. Our eyes go off of Christ, and they go to our struggles with families and friends. And our eyes go off of Christ, and they go to all of the sins that we commit over and over again and betray our Lord in thought and in word and in deed. Our eyes go off of Christ and they go to the thought of death of maybe a loved one or a threat of our own death. And our eyes go off of Christ and it goes to all of the pain and sadness that could possibly come to my family. And our eyes go off of Christ and onto the guilt of our sins, of all of the sin that we can't overpower that just seems to have us every time. And then you know in these moments that Satan's always going to come and he's going to say, you're no good. You don't deserve God's salvation. You're damned. You're damned. There's no salvation for you. And the waves of doubt come crashing over us again and again, and we just feel like we're sinking further and further down. There's nothing that we can do. And that's when Jesus reaches his hand down and he grabs our arms and he pulls us up. Gives us solid footing yet again. And he whispers in our ears through his word, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt my power? You know I created the world and that I direct its affairs. Why did you doubt my care? You know I provide for you and will never forsake you. Why did you doubt my watching over you and your family and your friends? I am always with you and them. Why did you doubt my promises? You know I fulfill every one of them and that I work through every syllable when you hear and share them. Why did you doubt my forgiveness? You know that I already suffered in your place and that it is finished. Why did you doubt my victory over death? You know that it has no lasting hold on you anymore. Why did you doubt my eternal love for you? You know that I've given you all things and that I will into time unbounded. And Jesus takes us safely in his arms, guides us back to safety, and the storms of life calm down as we're focused on him yet again. See, those doubts and those frustrations and those struggles will come into our lives. And time and again, that fear and that doubt will come crashing into you. But time and again, I'm telling you, the Lord will pick you back up. And you'll just think to yourself, oh, me of little faith, why did I doubt? For Peter, Jesus was always there. He just lost sight of that. For all of the disciples, Jesus was there. He was watching over them the whole time as they were struggling. He was probably even praying for them about it, and they didn't even know it. They just let that doubt and fear set in. Jesus came walking on the water to them. And what we hear next, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It was a big day for Jesus' power. Feeding 5,000 people, walking on the water, calming the sea and the wind. And we hear from the other Gospels that immediately when they got into the boat, even though they were 3 or 4 miles from the shore, they were right there at their destination. Jesus' big day became the disciples' big day. How do you think their faith compared from the beginning of the day to the end? They had to go through frustrations and struggles, yeah, but boy, at the end of the day, there was no denying it. Jesus was the Son of God. It's the same for you and me. We might have doubts and frustrations and fears, but we have no reason to doubt because Christ's power overcomes the waves of doubt. Amen. Please stand. May God's power be with you until the day you see him in heaven, in his presence. Amen. We now confess our faith in the power of our loving God according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our offering. And I'll ask the Sunday school teachers to please come forward. You can line up right around here. Morning. Dear friends in Christ, you have been called as teachers in the Sunday school of this congregation. You are doing the work the Lord has committed to his church, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, and to feed the lambs of the Lord Jesus. You do this work on behalf of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church and in association with the parents who entrust their children to your instruction and care. Your work is both a great privilege and a serious responsibility. To equip yourselves for this blessed work, it is necessary that you faithfully study God's word, devote yourselves to prayer for those entrusted to your care, and carefully prepare for the lessons you will teach. It is also of great importance in the teaching of the Savior's little ones that you set an example by leading Christian lives. I now ask you in the presence of God and this congregation, are you willing to accept this responsibility and to do your work faithfully according to the ability God has given you? If so, answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, and I ask God to help me.
I now install you as teachers in the Sunday School of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God grant you his Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties to his glory and for the good of his children. Members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these teachers as servants of Jesus Christ, teachers of the gospel, and God's gifts to his church. Support them in their work, pray for them, and bring your children to Sunday school so that you and your families may receive the eternal blessings the Lord wishes through his word. Let us pray. Gracious Savior, you bless every effort to bring children up in the Christian faith. We ask you to give wisdom, kindness, and perseverance to teachers who feed your lambs. Teach them your truth so that they may teach others. Cause the children entrusted to their care to be eager to learn about their Savior. May your goodness go out into all the earth so that people in this community and everywhere may hear it and believe it. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the peace of the Lord. May the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and keep you. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning in the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Bev Heinitz, Stan Kuhlman, Pam Drennan, Clara Jackson, Frank Boshaw, and Leroy Deedy. We also pray in thanks for those celebrating birthdays as well as anniversaries, including Brandon and Amy Sexton celebrating 7 years of marriage, Keith and Donna Williamson celebrating 35 years of marriage, and Al and Bobby Weigel celebrating 41 years of marriage. We also include a prayer in memory of Rick Covey, who was taken home to his Lord this past Friday morning. Please stand for the prayer of the church on page 10. O Lord God, we thank you for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through him. We thank you that through his perfect life and his innocent death on the cross, that we have been granted a cleansing and pardon for all our sins. We thank you that in his resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in his ascension to the right hand of your majesty, we have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us. Help us believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions we may manifest his Spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. Continue also to show your grace and love to all who have been blessed with another birthday. Allow them to rejoice over the breadth of your love and the depth of your grace in Jesus. Lord Jesus, as you died to save your bride, the church, grant that same selfless and powerful love to all married couples. Send your life-giving spirit to those celebrating anniversaries to strengthen the bond they have with each other and with you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Teach them not to mourn as those who have no hope, but comfort them with the certainty of Christ's resurrection. Continue always to reassure us that because he lives, we too shall live. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? Please stand for prayer and the blessing. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, Jesus Lead Us On. Good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. May God's power be with you this week as you go through whatever doubts and struggles and frustrations you have. Please stick around for Bible study and Sunday school. This is a great way to hear God's word and to see his power in his word. So please stick around for those between services. Another reminder that Pastor Colander's installation service is coming up in just 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 4 p.m. service. Lots of fun things are going to be going on, so please come to that. Another reminder, there is a gift card shower box. All right, is it back there in the lobby at this point? Yes, okay, so if it's back there. So that was a big help for Heather and I, and it really helped us see just how big St. Mark's love is, and it was a great display of that. So if we could do that for Pastor Colander, that would be fantastic. Yet again. Let's see, another Bible study coming up. A women's Bible study is going to begin September 14th, and it'll be Thursday mornings from 9:30 to 11 a.m. So women's Bible study, please keep that on your minds if you could come to that. Now we'll take a look at an outreach video prepared by the Board of Outreach.
Good morning, St. Mark's Lutheran Church. It was wonderful to worship with you again this morning. Isn't it great how we get to come to church every Sunday and have our faith strengthened through word and sacrament? God shows us his mighty love in our lives every day, and we know that he can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever imagine. So let's go out and share this gracious and mighty God with those around us. The Board of Outreach will be planning 3 events over the next 6 weeks where you will have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with someone in your life. Now would be a great time to get out that cell phone and turn on Google Calendars so you can save these important events. The first event is on September 16th. We will be gearing up our mighty warriors. No, not that mighty warrior. The mighty warrior sitting on your left and right. The Mighty Warrior Group goes door-to-door and shares a small gospel message with members in our community. This time, we'll also be inviting the neighborhood to our St. Mark's Meet the Pastors picnic. If you were unable to join us last time for Praise and Proclaim, that's okay. We're going to start at 8:30 in the morning, and for 1 hour, we are going to retrain in what we learned back in April. We will go until 3 in the afternoon. Our goal is to knock on over 1,200 doors. We hope that everybody would consider joining us for this event. If you're interested, please sign up in the back. If you have any questions, talk to Jim Oswald or myself. On Saturday, September 30th, we're going to have our St. Mark's Meet the Pastors picnic. Try saying that 3 times straight. We will be inviting school families and the neighborhood to this event. The event will be from 11 to 3 at Fair Oaks Park. The Board of Outreach and the Board of Adult Discipleship will be providing the meat and the drinks and the entertainment. We will begin at 11 o'clock, and from 11 to 12:30, we'll have our meal and meet the pastors. Then from 12:30 to 3, we'll have games and events for all ages. We're right next to the playground, so if we have any young children, they can come and play on the playground. We're also going to have some bubbles for them to play with, too. We're going to be having a St. Mark's pie competition, so if you have a secret family recipe and you want to try to win first prize, bring your best pie. We're going to have games also like bocce ball, cornhole, and everybody's favorite, Minute to Win It. Now, maybe you don't want to play any games. Just bring a lawn chair, sit back, relax, and get to know your fellow members of St. Mark's and some new people from our community. Please stop by the table at the back of church to RSVP and sign up for this event. We need members of St. Mark's to bring salad, dessert, or side dishes. I hope to see you all there. On October 8th, we are going to have another Friendship Sunday. The theme for this Friendship Sunday will center on the grace of God. If you know somebody in your life that could really use the message of the grace of God, please invite them to church on October 8th. In the next couple weeks, we'll be putting out small invitations that you can use to invite them to St. Mark's. Now, don't forget, you don't have to wait for special events to tell others about Jesus. Please look for opportunities every day in your life to show your faith and share your faith. God bless your outreach endeavors. Have a great day.
So some big events coming up for outreach. A lot of fun coming up. A reminder, September 16th is the Mighty Warriors going out. Please really consider doing that. That'll be a lot of fun. It's such a rewarding thing at the end. And September 30th, Meet the Pastor's Picnic. Okay, keep those on your calendars. Another thing to put on your calendar, please, is this coming Saturday, there will be a memorial service for Rick Covey to celebrate the Savior's work in his life. Rick was a very valued member of this congregation, very vital in a lot of things that he did. So please come show your support for the Covey family and to celebrate Rick's life. This Saturday, the service will be at 11 a.m., and there will be a luncheon to follow. So this Saturday, September 2nd, 11 a.m. Thanks for coming to that. May God bless your week as you continue to deal with the frustrations and doubts with his power in your lives. Please stick around to greet one another and stick around for Bible study.